Okay.
Plus, I've got a grumbly tummy, so I'm...
You always have problems like a cough or a cold or...
Sorry, I'm a difficult person.
You are very difficult, Sarah.
It's what's lovable about me, though.
Yes. It's what we adore about you. Your stomach talking.
Have we started? We've already begun.
I'm about to introduce it. Here we go.
I think we should keep all of that in there.
We could do that.
We should start and say what the podcast is about there. Bronwyn, take it away.
So we are at another week of Booktopia on, and this week we are talking about books we can't believe we haven't read. So I'm Bronwyn.
I'm Cass.
I'm Sarah.
So it's just us three today. Now, I am relatively new to the book industry, 18 months? And before that, I think my exposure to books was very limited, and then I got here and people started throwing names around, and I thought, what are all these amazing books that I've never heard of or read? Or like,
this is interesting to me. So prior to working at Booktopia, what were your reading habits like?
I wasn't actually a huge reader, which is interesting, right?
You're a lover of stories, though.
But exactly.
You went more towards TV and movies and stuff.
I think just for like the high school kind of period and the uni period and all that. And I mean, I've read a lot of books because you had to in high school and all that. I don't really remember most of them, though, because my memory is shocking. Mm-hmm. But... I was always just like I'd read the Harry Potters kind of girl, you know.
Okay.
I hadn't really delved deep into it. But then coming here, it's like, it's awoken that dormant book lover that has always been there, that just, I think, hadn't had the right stimulus kind of thing. And now, she'll never go dormant again now that I'm here. And I'm now just like, the amount of books that I've bought in the last 18 months is unbelievable, and my roommate genuinely thinks I have a problem. And but I'm still so behind. Like, I'm playing catch up, and so you guys will always talk about these amazing books you've read or authors you've read, and I'm like,
But I think it's like, well, I mean, we should let Cass talk. Because
you just forced her to say something now. Quick, witty.
Speak now, Cass, offer a hearty piece, because then I'll get started and no one will ever say anything ever again.
Please do.
What I was going to say is, I think that's your perception that you're behind and you've got to catch up. But I think that's how most people feel. Like, I feel like there's so many books that I haven't read. I haven't read nearly the amount of particularly classics. There's always so much that you haven't read,
and I always
feel I'm constantly stumbling into conversations with people and then having to admit, oh, I've never read that author.
Well, I'm ashamed to say, like, with the classics, I haven't read a lot of them. Like, there were certain ones that you read in high school, like I've read Frankenstein, didn't enjoy it, I admit that.
That's a topic we should talk about in here, though, is books that you've read that you know that you should probably reread.
Yeah, well, I agree.
I've got a few.
I do think I need to reread that. But, like, the classics are definitely a low point for me, and most classics I haven't read. Like, I haven't read any Jane Austen. I will. I plan to very soon read my first Jane Austen.
And
as I've said, like, a million times.
That you get to do it for the first time. I love rereading them all, except, I mean, there are some that I like more than others.
Of course.
But
I mean, I know a lot of them from, again, movies and stuff. But in terms of having read them, because I found when I did try them, the language to be just a bit hard for me at the time.
But I think that if you have that experience when you pick up a certain author, particularly if it's a few hundred years old, and you don't immediately slip into the language and find it comfortable, then it can turn you off, and it can turn you off really hard.
Yeah.
Whereas if you, I don't know if it's because the earliest books I remember reading independently, like the ones that my parents handed me and stuff, were the Jane Austen and the Bronte sisters, And I don't know, my dad read to me when I was little, and he read stuff that wasn't current, right? It was always, he used to read us P.G. Woodhouse when we were little, and I never felt uncomfortable picking up a book that was written in kind of, I mean, it's not old English, it's not that old.
No, it's definitely not old English.
Yes,
yeah, but it's just...
The language never really turned me off, I guess, is what I'm saying. Yeah. So it's just a mindset, and also you've got to, and it's not even just, I'm talking like an idiot.
We've become really lazy with language.
We have. And
make you work for it.
There's nothing to stop you. When I read, if I don't know a word, I will skip over that word and try and figure it out by context.
Yes.
And if I'm still not figuring it out by context, then it's really bothering me, I'll look the word up. Sometimes I have to come across a word skip it, not figure it out in context like 10 times before I decide, okay, now I really have to look this one up because it's haunting me. But usually you can figure it out, right? And then after a while, I mean, I have memories of being young and figuring out the meaning of things just by instinct and then realizing that I had it slightly wrong. You know, like, I'm trying to think of a good example, but, you know, decide that a word... Okay, so the word deprecating, like self-deprecating, I thought, first of all, whenever I read it in a book, in my mind, I pronounced it... self-depreciating or something. I turned the C into a soft C.
Yeah.
And so I went around saying that as though it was a word, and people must have thought I was stupid.
But people often think
I'm stupid when I talk.
No one thinks that, Sarah. That word, I hear a lot of people mispronounce it.
Yeah.
And that's probably because they've read it, not heard someone say it. Whereas I first heard that word, someone saying it.
Reading is good for that. It's good to help you. So all I'm saying is if you've had the experience of picking up a Jane Austen novel and then putting it down quickly because the language is just not comfortable,
yeah.
I would say, you know, just accept that you're going to have to use your brain a little bit more than normal just to figure out context and replace the words you're not sure of. And then you'll get on your feet and then it'll be fine. And then we can talk about Jane Austen, which is all I've been wanting since you started to work here.
This year will be the year, I promise, and soon.
Yeah.
But then I wonder that, you know how we say things like, you know, you should read the classics and then, you know, these big name authors that... do you reckon that translates a lot into what's really popular now? Like, I remember my high school English teacher refused to read Harry Potter because of its hype, right? Mm-hmm. Also hadn't seen Titanic because of its hype. His loss.
I haven't seen Titanic.
Oh, come on, Cass.
Goes for 3 hours.
Yeah, because it's fantastic.
That's 3 hours of your life and then get back, but it's pretty great.
It's pretty great, 3 hours.
I don't know.
Get tissues, you'll cry. Anyway, but, you know, so what do you guys think about these kinds of massive stories or massive authors? That do you think that people should read them if everybody's reading them just to see, even if they hate it, just to see, like, reading Twilight, reading
Harry Potter? I firmly believe that you should only ever really read what you want to read. Yeah. Otherwise, you're unlikely to enjoy it.
You're resenting it, like my English teacher,
reasons why. Like, you read what you want to read, but then you've got to examine your reasons for wanting to read something, right? So if you only ever read things you want to read purely for fun, then that's great. You're reading and that's awesome. But maybe you might want to consider, hey, maybe it would be really cool if I decided to read something challenging or something outside of my comfort zone. And then you might look around at books like that and find one that appeals to you. You should still, whatever your reason is for reading, you should still try and find a book that appeals to you for some reason. True. Otherwise, you're shooting yourself in the foot.
Like, I mean, that's one thing I love about this job is that it is challenging me to read things that I might not normally read, but I then get recommendations of what might be the best, and because I know what I like, I read the blurbs or whatever and sort of tailor it. Like, for example, I'm reading my first ever Tim Winton.
Which one?
Breath.
Okay, cool.
And I love it. I'm nearly done. And I'm really enjoying it, but I never would have... I don't know. I don't think I ever would have tried a Tim Winton unless I'd worked here. And
see, I did the writers in either school or early uni, and so I don't know if I hadn't had that sort of put in front of me then. I don't know if I would have ever read him either. But
see, this is where I worry that I'll have like a school teacher come to me one day and be like, "Well, I had that podcast, and actually, don't you remember in year 9 we read Tim Winton?" Like, because my memory is so bad, I probably forgot.
Well, books that you do in school, I think they're very. It's an easy way to kill a book for someone is to force them to read it.
You'll remember it because you didn't like it and you had to study it for 12 weeks.
Yeah,
and write like 6 essays on it,
like Huckleberry Finn, which I did.
I don't even remember
in school, and I hated it, and I hated it so much that it turned me off the whole of Mark Twain, which is on my list of books that I'm embarrassed to admit that I haven't read, because I have not actually read, besides the one that I had to read for school. So besides Huckleberry Finn, I've never read a Mark Twain novel.
Well, I've never read Mark Twain either, and I haven't read Huckleberry Finn, which is, you know, it's Huckleberry Finn. I have a Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's Court
in you've
my
read
library
that.
Because it's going along my Arthurian legend obsession, so I had to have that one. Right? And I was like, if I'm going to read a Mark Twain, I'm going to start with this one. and see how we go. But I haven't got around to it yet, so...
I've got it. That's one of the real ones that I feel sort of a little bit embarrassed
about. Yeah, keep going. What else haven't you read? Tell us.
So I've never read... This one is bad.
I can't wait to hear it.
I feel really bad because I feel like everyone's read this.
It's a good start.
I've never read 1984 by George Orwell.
Wow.
Never read it.
See, we were forced to read it in school. Again, I don't remember much.
See, I feel like I've gleaned most of the story just through...
context.
Yeah, through osmosis.
Right? Yeah, you...
But I've never sat down and read it, and it's something that haunts me. Like, I really...
See, you could read it. This is the point. Like, we get to this point.
I should, and I should. And I own it. I should sit down and just read it.
It's not very big, though, is it?
No, it's a small book. I don't know. Yeah, I can't tell you why, guys. It's just one of those ones that I've never read, and the...
You've got to be in the mood for 1984, let's be honest.
I want to read it just to plug that hole in my, like...
Well, it's kind of like when you go traveling, right? And you need to do the checklist items, like see the Eiffel Tower, tick, go onto the Colosseum, tick. These sort of big authors and all that, that's kind of, in the book world, the equivalent of that in traveling, is that you haven't read George Orwell?
It's crazy. You know, it's a stupid thing to have not read if you love books. And I know, it's bad. It's bad! And that's why...
Or you could just watch the movie.
I almost didn't tell you guys. I was like, I don't have to tell everyone that I haven't read that book, do I?
But I'm
like,
well, no,
it is one of the ones. I'm embarrassed that I haven't read it. And so, you know, and you know what? There's two more that I sort of... I've always put them together in my mind as books that are, like, that I haven't read that I should read. And they're almost interchangeable to me. And that's Slaughterhouse 5.
I've never read it
either.
Kurt Vonnegut.
I've borrowed it and just not read it so many times.
So have I. I've borrowed it. People have lent it to me and I've eventually given it back to them going, sorry, I just...
Didn't get
for whatever reason.
Yeah.
The other one is Catch 22.
I haven't read that either.
Catch 22.
Is that good?
Should I read it?
Yeah, yes. It's kind of absurdist.
Like, I know
like
that...
it's kind of weird.
Okay.
Yeah, and I feel like I know what I'd be getting
the
into.
The font of the copy I read was really small. Because I think it was like my grandpa's or something. But yeah, it's kind of funny, but kind of weird, but also, yeah, like, don't feel you have to go out and read it, I guess.
Oh, well, I guess I don't. I clearly don't feel like I should, because I never have, but it's one of those ones that I have embarrassment over, because I feel like
but
it's
I think everyone uses the phrase Catch 22, and some people don't actually know where it comes from.
Yeah.
I know it's a book, but I haven't read it, but I still
and we understand
know when
the
I say Catch 22,
of,
yeah,
the
I understand
phrase.
What it means.
Yeah.
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 Well, going back to Jane Austen,
oof.
I have not read or finished any of Jane Austen's books.
No. I've started.
I'm sorry, but the thing is, I also have the book of Jane Austen Book Club and the DVD.
I love that movie.
And you've watched
I've seen half of the movie, but I haven't read the Jane Austen Book Club book because I haven't read the Jane Austen books that they
I would find
read
it so cool
it.
To get your
but
view
you know what?
Before and after. So if you read... a book about Jane Austen without ever reading Jane Austen and then went and read Jane Austen and reread.
I reckon you should watch it or read it first because you glimpse stuff about the stories but they don't... The point is that, like, so one of the people in the book club has never read Jane Austen either.
Yeah.
So he, like, there's some really good moments with him and his sort of discovery of love Jane Austen where the rest of them have all read it and they all love it. And for them, it's just a renewing kind of thing.
I've
seen the movie.
Such enjoyable books. And
I love the stories, don't get me wrong, but in terms of...
But I love the writing, and I love the humour, and I love everything about it. I don't have the same love. I feel like poor Mansfield Park, I give it... See, this,
is that your least favourite?
It's my least favourite. I'm going to put it back... I'm going to put it on my list of books that I need to reread. Do you want to hear those?
Okay.
Mansfield Park. I have actually read it more than once, and I do have things about it that I like, but overall, it's my least favourite Austen, and maybe it's just because I haven't read it in the right time in my life yet. Another one is Crime and Punishment. I hated Crime and Punishment. I hated it. I hated it. But I was only about 17 when I read it, and I really feel like if I revisited it, I would have a very different opinion now. But it's really hard to pick up a book that you... have read and disliked and then devote the time to revisit
it's very true.
Another one is Love in the Time of Cholera.
I really want to read that.
I started that.
Yeah.
I couldn't either, Cass. I was with you. I was like, everyone loves this. This must be amazing.
Yeah.
And then, I'd also read 100 Years of Solitude. And I was like, well, this will be more good things. Like, let's go. Couldn't do it. It was one of those books that just hung around me, and I would pick it up and I would start trying to read from where I left off, and I'd be like, wait a minute, I don't know what's going on. And then I'd have to go back a few chapters, and then I'd try and reread it, and
I could never, in the end,
I remember finishing it, because I remember going, thank God I finally finished that book.
Mm-hmm.
But it was the wrong time in my life to be reading that, because it did not stay with me, and I don't have good memories of it.
Right.
But I also know that that's idiotic, right? Because it's I'm sure it's an amazing book. I just wasn't reading it at the right time.
Well, yeah, I mean, I first heard of Love in the Time of Cholera and this movie that I saw, and I can't actually remember the name of the movie now, but it has Chris Evans in it, right?
Oh, Chris Evans. I'm an expert in the field of Chris Evans.
Sold.
Is it What's Your Number?
No, that's such
a good movie.
He's trying to write a book.
It's such a terrible good movie.
It's just straight up.
It's about love, and he's trying to write a rom com script, kind of.
Anyway, oh, I think I know that.
But his friend, Love in the Time of Cholera is his favourite book, and he wraps it up in a brown package, and he leaves it random places for people to find because he wants to share his love.
Love this book. He's an amazing. It is a phenomenal book. I know that. You know,
but it's not
kind
for everyone.
I think it could be for me. Like, I feel like it's a book that I would love. I just unfortunately tried to read it at a time in my life when it was never going to work.
Right.
Mm. And now I've got bad memories of it, and so that's just one that I know that I need to read again.
To recover from, yeah. Okay.
Other books I'm embarrassed I haven't read.
Go.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I love it.
This one I'm not really embarrassed that I haven't read it, because I don't feel like it's one that everyone has read, but it is something that I've always felt as though I should read, which is Don Quixote. Like, I've always thought that would be a good, you know, this is all I know about Don Quixote, is that he was the guy who would tilt at windmills, right? So
what?
He would ride around, lost right now. Like, I've got to read this. Like, I think
I might have to as well, just from that description right there.
Yeah, so he would, now keep in mind, podcast people, I've not read this book. So this knowledge,
you might be wrong.
The knowledge that I have of Don Quixote is the sort of knowledge that is gained by osmosis through cultural references in movies and stuff, and in other books. So from my understanding, it's about a dude who is like riding around on a donkey, like imagining that he's a knight and having these great adventures, and he tilts at windmills. So he like gets the expression tilting at windmills. What does that mean?
Okay. I'm trying to tilt a windmill.
It's like riding a... You're a medieval person. You know, yes. What's the... Bron is from the past, everyone.
Bron, I speak fluent medieval.
You may not realize it, but Bron comes from medieval England.
Yes, I do.
So, you know, what's the weapon that I'm thinking of where it's like the guy is on it?
A jousting stick. Yeah.
Yeah, so he has this guy. Again, I'm talking totally like without knowing anything about this book, without having ever read it. This could all be so wrong. But... Sarah's understanding is that this guy who's not a knight, he's on a donkey, he's holding maybe a broomstick, I don't know, something that's not a jousting stick.
Right,
that
a
is
a pointy object.
Yeah, he's got something that he's using as a jousting stick, mm-hmm. and he's riding at his enemy, which is actually a windmill in reality.
Sounds insane, for sure.
Yeah, but also just grandly, like, he's grandly deluded.
Also, how cowardly, yeah, challenging a windmill.
But he's living out his dream, you know? Right. I don't know, haven't read it,
please
really want to read it.
Read it and let me know if it's worth my time, because that sounds a bit odd.
It's on my list. It's on my list of ones that I've always wanted to read, mainly because, you know, when you hear about a book that many times in your life, and when you use expressions, like Catch-22, you use the expression that comes from the book and you've never read the book, it just feels like something that I want to experience, so that then I don't have to try and talk to people about it without knowing if everything I'm saying is absolute bullshit or not. Oh my God. I could. Anyway, also another one, just because of how famous it is and how it's one of those ones that these two authors kind of birthed a genre, but I've never read any books by Jules Verne or H.G. Wells, but I like science fiction. So I feel like, how cool would it be to go back and read sort of the early beginnings of sci-fi as we know it. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. No, I'm ashamed to say I haven't read any Jules Verne either.
And that's a big what are some of yours, Cass? Oh. I told you that it would be hard for you to get a chance to get a word in advice.
No, I wrote down Dickens because apart from, I think we went to like some show and my brother got a show bag and I had like this really crappy like comic of Great Expectations and he wouldn't let me read it, so I tried to like sneak a look in anyway, and so that's how I learned about Pip.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, oh, wow. Adventures, but I haven't read anything else by him or like an actual book. Also Raymond Feist, even though I've got like three or four of his books on my bookshelf,
agreed.
I just haven't opened them yet.
Yeah.
I've got
his most recent one and I really want to read it.
I've got a Robin Hobb book, but I think it's like midway through her.
Which one is it?
I think it's the Assassin book, but Assassin series. I think so.
Yeah, you need to read those in order.
Yeah, I know, but like I don't want to start the epic fantasy like in the middle. And also, I wrote one which will get me in trouble with Sarah, everyone. I haven't read Jane Harper, but I'm going to fix it because I borrowed The Dry yesterday.
Okay, I just want to state for the record, I'm never going to get mad at anyone for not having read something. I'm not mad, I just...
I don't know, sometimes with the Jane Austen thing, I get these waves
of disapproval.
But that
comes from a place of love, Bronnie. It comes from a place of, I can't wait to talk to you about these books.
You want me to experience it,
yeah.
You want me to be happy
but
when I read
them.
But
if you said to me, you know what, doesn't appeal to me, I'm never going to read it, I'd be like, fair enough. That's your thing.
You're such a good person.
You know, oh, well, thanks. I thought we started off this podcast saying I was a difficult person. So we've come full circle. Oh, look, I just really feel like I hate the feeling of that you get when you are made to feel like an idiot for not having read something, right?
Teach their own, right?
Yeah, I don't. There's a limited number of days that we can all be alive on this earth, and there's far too many books for any one person to read them all. So you have to pick and choose.
You do.
I just think if you're gonna have any kind of care for what you're reading, if you want to think about what you're reading, the only advice I can give to anyone is just try to read widely so that you can sample a bit of everything, and then you know.
That's good advice.
But anyway,
about to start Jane Harper.
Good, yeah, no,
you
I'm
might,
just...
Because
you
I know,
will enjoy it.
I only just did The Dry a few months ago, audiobook, and I really enjoyed it.
It's okay. Just
I
really...
Is it set
really
in Australia,
really
though?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, because it said federal agent on the back, but it didn't say where it was set, and I was like, Australia...
He's a there's words for this that are real, and the actual term for it, I don't know, but he's, I'm going to say, a forensic finance...
Oh, a forensic
agent?
Accountant.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah,
he does the thing where he investigates crimes that are
money.
Financial.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There are real words for that. I feel like we've gone right back to Don Quixote now and I'm just talking nonsense.
And you've read this one as well.
I know, I just can't remember the word that is used for his actual job. But
Podcast
that's
of
what
Sarah is such like a big advocate of this book.
It's such
I'm
a
really
great
excited.
Book.
You're not just Podcast Sarah. Every day, Sarah. Just
every
read,
day,
every
Sarah.
Every type of Sarah.
No, I mean,
sometimes
podcasts.
I walk past people on the street and I just say,
Jane Harper,
read The Dry.
I wish you would actually do that. You should have a t-shirt that just says, Read The Dry by Jane Harper.
And the good thing
she
is, once you read The Dry, you can read Force of Nature.
Oh.
Look, that's a great book. And that's a good one to have on your list. And it brings me to another little pocket of lists I made for this podcast, which are really recently released, like 2017 books that I actually can't believe I haven't read.
Yes. Well, I've got one I can already say is Obsidio, because I got it last week. I started it. But I've had
but that's
to put
from
it
this year.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? I'm counting it. It's still
I can
still
believe you haven't read that. Not huge amounts of people have read that. It's not out yet.
No, but for us, for our
as
sake.
An aside, I have read it and I really, really, really
yeah, see,
liked it.
That's what I'm saying.
It's
like,
amazing.
For those of us who do have it.
Oh, there we go. There's one I can talk about. I haven't read Illuminae yet.
Even though
when I started, everyone was going crazy about the next one.
Please read
Gemini.
It.
I know I just said that I don't get angry at people for not reading things. This is not anger, Cass. This is passion.
Passion. And Illuminae holds a special place in all of our
it's
hearts.
It's so fun. It's pure fun. It's absolute pure fun with a side order of like gut-wrenching
heartbreak.
Grief.
Like, how dare you?
But also not in a bad way, because there's always enough good things to balance out the horrific things. Plus,
this
there's always an amazing central message. Like... We're straying really off topic now.
Yeah, go back to your list.
Okay, so 2017 books just released in the last year that I know that I love, that are sitting on my bookshelf that I hilariously have not read, even though I'm sure that I love them, okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Lincoln in the Butter.
Yes!
I can't believe I haven't read that.
What's that one about? I know I've
Oh, yes, another definition. Go, Sarah.
Okay, so it is about Again, I haven't read this.
Was this on a hit list?
This one, the Man Booker. Yeah. So it's about Lincoln's son who died, and then he, from what I understand, crosses over into a sort of afterlife realm, which is called the Bardo.
Oh,
and then this epic sort of battle happens over what happens to his soul, right? So all of these ghosts are there to decide about what happens to his soul. It is, look, everyone who has read it absolutely loves it. It is an award-winning novel. I have to read it. I love the premise. Everything about's great. Even though I don't care so much about covers, I am prone to a pretty cover. Like, it has one of those. I'm just, everything.
Oh, yeah, the cover is nice, isn't it?
Both of the covers are nice as well. Like, there's US and you know those rare times when there's two different covers for a book and you love them both.
Like, which one do I buy? Both.
Yep, can't decide. They're both great. I'll just get the Australian one. Yeah. But, yeah, can't believe I haven't read that. I actually feel crazy. It's crazy talking to people and they're like, what are you doing? And you're like, oh, I work at a bookstore. And they're like, oh, have you read Lincoln the Bardo? I'm like, no, because I'm an idiot. Like, I just haven't read it.
I'm ashamed.
I haven't, read the winner of the Man Booker Prize. Why would I do that? Like, anyway, then another one is Manhattan Beach, which I actually, this is on my list because I haven't read it and I've owned it for so long, but I actually did start it just yesterday. So that's not true. I actually started it about a few weeks ago, but I got distracted and it was no fault of the book. Like, it wasn't one of those things where the book wasn't catching my attention.
Timing.
It was one where I actually had to go and do something. And then I picked it up again yesterday. Love Jennifer Egan. Sure that this is going to be an amazing book. Reviews, everyone raves. It's going to be amazing. I can't believe that it's been out since October and I haven't read it. Like, it's just one of those ones that...
Yeah.
I just, yeah. Another one of the YA ones that that slipped past me, and not because I didn't want to read it, just because at the time I didn't have, it just happens, you know, is This Mortal Coil by Emily Sparta, which I still have not read.
Wait, you haven't read that?
No.
What? Okay, this is anger right here.
I know.
Because that is so good.
I know, everyone tells me this, and and I'm really keen to read it. And I know that I'll enjoy it, just haven't got to it yet.
Oh, Sarah.
Also, Sagaland.
Oh, yes! Oh, that's such a good one. I was super keen for it, and I still am, and I haven't read it yet. It's on my shelf, been like, read me.
It's really hard when you work in a bookstore and all you see all day are all the amazing books, that you want to read.
Everywhere.
Mm-hmm. And
such a first world problem.
Look, and the list goes on and on. Like...
we'll start to wrap it up because we've been talking a while, but I just had a thought. What, you know, we're talking about books that we've never read. What is the book that you guys have read the most?
Jane Eyre.
Is it Jane Eyre?
Mm-hmm. I have this thing where I read it often and sometimes not the whole of it. Sometimes I'll just get a real hankering to read a particular part of Jane Eyre. And so I'll pick up the book and I'll read.
See, there you go. I don't think I've read Jane Eyre.
You would really, really love it. I think
I can't remember. Here we go. Shocking memory.
Look, you would really love it because unlike any film adaptation that you will ever see of it, and this is one of those topics where I feel sorry for both of you and probably people, anyone who regularly listens to this podcast, because I've gone on this rant so many times. But, I don't think they've ever really made a film that really captures the sort of delicious gothicness of this story. Like, every time they make it, they try and make it like it's Pride and Prejudice. And they're two totally different types of books. And you can't... They're just... It's crazy to me. It would be like trying to make... And I think they've even tried to do this, but, I mean, they're usually more in the spirit of it with Wuthering Heights. They usually do kind of go for that gothic feel of it. But I don't think anyone's really embraced the psychotic... craziness of that book either. Like, that book's about two absolutely psycho people in love with each other who destroy everyone around them, and no film adaptation that I've ever seen really runs with that.
I don't remember it very well.
Tom Hardy version's pretty good.
Ooh. I think that's actually, is that the one with Kaya Skoldar? I can't remember her. Effie from Skins.
I don't know.
Effie from Skins.
It's the
one, that's her official name.
It's got Tom Hardy in it.
It's the one Wuthering Heights adaptation I haven't seen, and maybe that's the one that really nails it.
I think it was pretty good, and I read Wuthering Heights, so I could see that.
Yeah.
And I was like, what is even happening? Like, multiple people have the same name. It's so confusing because it's like a story within a story.
Who has the same name?
Within something else. Linton.
Oh, there's
someone else.
Okay.
There's two Lintons. There's like.
It's a weird name.
There's the kid. Lintons. There's the child.
Yeah,
Linton
there's the kid.
And because like the I always maintain Wuthering Heights is like kind of like Bold and the Beautiful or any.
Which like, I have not seen, but okay.
It's okay.
That's a good comparison.
Yeah,
actually.
Right. Because you've got the older generation and then you've got the younger generation yeah. playing out all of their and all the irony with and just how ridiculously all out evil.
Yeah.
Heathcliff is to everyone around him except Kathy.
Yeah.
And they're terrible to each other as well. It's mental. It's so mental. And every time whenever I read it, I just get swept away on this like tide of how absolutely deranged everyone in this book is, like beautifully, dramatically deranged.
Yeah.
And then you see movies of it and they try and do it like everything's like
an epic
pretty
love story.
Drawing room scenes and stuff like as though it were or an epic love story which it isn't really
it's not.
I mean it is but it's not a good one like it's not like wow I wish I could find a love like that
have you read Kate Beaton's comics
no
she does some really good ones about Heathcliff and Kathy and them like running around and like ruining other people's picnics and just being really nasty. And there's one where Kathy's talking to Nellie Dean in the stable. And she's like, I can't love Heathcliff because... And then he just hears that and he runs off because he's hiding behind the other part of the stable. And then she's like, because it's like me. And then Nellie Dean's like, what? Like being in love with your lake or what is it?
Being in love with it. Because they're as bad as each other. They're like... And that's almost straight from the book. Like,
yeah.
It's like... Oh, look. Wuthering Heights is one thing. Jane Eyre is this... gorgeously it's similar because it's gothic right and there's the mysterious like thing in the attic that you don't know what it is and you've got Rochester like dressing up as a fortune teller and it's you've got all of this crazy stuff that happens in Jane Eyre and I swear every time they make a movie they somehow manage to leech all the drama out of it and they take Jane who's this fierce like she's inarguably more of a feminist heroine than many of the other books from that time. She's so uncompromising in her morals and she'll rather like literally rather walk out and starve on a moor than like than do something that goes against her morals.
Yeah.
She's crazy fierce little thing and every time they make a movie of it they turn her into this plain blob of a girl who's like fades into the background and anyway we're off topic. I can't wait for you to read that book because then we can talk about it.
Okay. And then, Cass, what's the book that you've read the most, can you think?
Probably Harry Potter.
Okay.
Like that series. I don't usually go back and reread books.
A particular book in the series or the whole series?
Well, the first one I read was Goblet of Fire because why not start in the middle when you're in
year 2? Oh, no, that hurts. That hurts. Why would you do that?
My uncle gave me a copy of Goblet of Fire when I was in year 2, so I read that.
Well, he was confused.
Were you confused?
Philosopher's Stone. Oh, I'm sorry. He gives you the one where it starts to get really dark.
Yeah, it starts with murder. Like,
it's like, wow. I don't know.
You read Cedric Diggory dying.
Spoiler.
I can't spoil Harry Potter. I'm sorry.
You might be able to. What about the new generation that haven't read it yet?
I can't. Well, first of all, I don't think many of them are listening to this podcast. But mainly, if a book has been out for years and years and years and had a movie made about it, you cannot spoil it. Like, you can't.
I mean, yes. And
spoilers have a lifespan on them. I can't. You can't run. You can't walk around not talking about anything that ever happened
You've seen that shirt, right, that has all the spoilers on it? Like, Darth Vader is Luke's father. Like, and
I love that shirt.
I should
the
get
spoiler
that.
Thing drives me nuts. No, hearing a spoiler has never ruined anything for me. And it never will, because you can't ruin a good story by finding out what happens.
Like, someone, when Harry Potter, the Order of the Phoenix came out, I was in, like, year 9 or something.
Mm.
And everyone in my friend group was reading it at once. And someone was further ahead than me, and they mentioned something that had happened in the book, and I was like...
True, I hate when that happens.
There are times... My sister tells a story about, I think, when she was on public transport, and it was around the time that... So she was on a train, and it was the book where... Someone dies. I feel like I can't say the name now because God forbid spoilers of Harry Potter.
Just say spoiler first and then...
All right, spoiler. Anyone who doesn't want to know this, it was the one where Sirius Black dies.
Heartbreaking.
And she was on a train and was reading the book and some idiot kid on the train went, she was also a child at the time. Like, so some other school kid on the train ran up and down the train carriage going, serious black dye, serious black dye. Like, that's evil. But it would not have ruined the book for me.
No, it doesn't ruin the book. But I remember someone spoiled the... I can never remember which... Spoiler! Weasley twin dies. Is it Fred or George?
I can never remember either. Isn't that terrible?
I think it's Fred. But I remember, again, my friend was ahead of me and somehow it got spoiled or something. And I... That was a devastating moment because it's, you know, right in the feels.
It kicked me right in the feels. This is just one of those ways in which I'm not like... I just don't have that feeling. Mm-hmm. I will actively seek out spoilers if I'm excited to read something because
I think it doesn't bother me. Like, because if I talk to someone about it and they're just like, hey, can I talk about this thing and spoil it? Like, because I'm talking about it with you and I'm like, yeah, that's fine. I probably won't watch it for like a year to 6 months and I would have forgotten whatever it was that you said.
So yeah, sure.
Like, I understand there are times when I admit it's the responsibility of people not to spoil something. Like during Game of Thrones season, for example.
Okay, it's different. You have to leave.
Well, that's a thing that is like week to week. You've got to give people a grace period to watch the episode.
Okay.
And then, but you know, after a few weeks, if you haven't seen it, you can't react in horror if someone mentions it in your presence. Some of the reactions I've got from people, I've been like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't realise
that. I turn around and leave if someone's talking about Game of Thrones. Back when I hadn't caught up, but now I've caught up.
So. Well, see, you were taking the onus on yourself. You're like, well, I don't want to hear this, so I'm going to leave. It's the people who are like, spoiler, and jump on top of you and act as though that you've killed their family when you're talking about something that came out 2 years ago.
No, you make a fair
point. I have no patience for it. Spoilers aren't a thing. Can we unmake spoilers a thing?
I don't think so. People just love it. And yeah, so my book that I've read the most is actually The Host by Stephanie Meyer.
How many times have you read that?
I don't know, probably like four or five, which is rare because I don't reread books.
Wow.
But and see, Twilight was,
I can't talk about that. Yeah, that's one of those things.
But The Host, have you read The Host? Have you read The Host?
I have read The Host and I have...
You sort of enjoyed it.
Well, it's a lot less. I won't get up on a soapbox and talk about it like I will about some other books.
But see, then I read this a lot in high school and I haven't read it in years and I would be interested to reread it now that I've read a lot more and more widely to see if I still love it as much. Because I don't know what it was about it, but I really loved it.
I remember quite enjoying it.
The movie did not do it justice. Oh God, I wish I could remake that movie. But
it's hard, but you know, it's a movie where there's a love triangle and only two bodies.
No, it's a love square.
I love square even.
Or pentagon. I don't know. It's very complicated.
There's a shape involved.
I would reread that.
Yeah.
But
see, every time I read it, even though I knew exactly what was going to happen, I'd get just as excited. And I always thought that was such a good...
But that's how I feel about a lot of books. Yeah. Like, I reread a lot.
No, see, I just don't. I rewatch a lot.
If you've enjoyed something once, chances are if you watch it again, you'll find other things in it and enjoy it even more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's finish off with just what we're reading now. What are you reading at the moment?
I'm reading many things now.
Just list them quickly. Or list your favourite ones. I don't know.
Okay. In the crime side of things, I'm reading a book called The Wife Between Us.
Mm-hmm.
It's very good so far.
Is that the new Robo book?
No.
No?
No, that one's still a while off, I think. I don't have a copy of that yet.
Oh, okay. I thought,
And then in the YA world...
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to think of the latest YA. So I finished the Tamora Pierce, the new Tamora Pierce book. That was really good. I'm currently reading, like, why is it, there's so much pressure.
Do you want a moment to think about it?
I'm just trying to remember what book that I had open last night. I just read The Bells. That was good.
Okay.
And I'm in the middle of reading Between Us. That's what it is.
Okay.
By, I want to say Claire Atkins, but I feel like that's probably wrong. I'm going to Google it. Okay. While I Google it, Cass, what are you reading?
I went to the library yesterday and borrowed lots of books. And I started one, I'm not sure, I'm probably getting the title wrong. I think it's called Ikigai or Ikiyagi. I'm not sure.
Ikiyagi, okay.
Yeah, it's a book by a Japanese neuroscientist about this concept of having like your own purpose in life. And working towards that. So it's pretty cool.
You read interesting things.
You do read interesting things.
I started it and then I got like 60 pages in and I was like, you're not paying attention anymore, so put this down.
I need to concentrate for sure.
Yeah. I started reading something this morning that I'm not really into, so I'm going to quit that and not tell you what it is.
I want to know.
No, let's not shame the book.
I'll tell you.
Tell me after the podcast.
Yes. Off air.
I love to DNF books. Sometimes I get real satisfaction out of it. I'm like, life's too short for you.
Yeah. I think, yeah, I got like 60 pages in and I was like, no, you're not liking this. And yeah, I'll tell you more about that later. And yeah, I finished American Radical, which I didn't mention on the last podcast. I mentioned Mindhunter. But yeah, that's all I'm reading at the moment.
Okay.
Yeah, what are you reading?
I'm listening to The Kiss of Deception by Mary Pearson.
Oh, I've read that series.
Yeah. So that.
What's it like as audiobook?
Like, it's good, yeah. I mean, I'm still...
Okay.
I don't know if it's any better or worse to, like, read it in. I just, you know, it sounded interesting, and it's got male voices for the male perspective,
oh, wow.
Which
okay,
is kind
cool.
of quite like that. But I must say that the woman is much better at doing the male side of things rather than, you know, when the men try and do the women, it's like, please stop.
Yeah.
but I'm sort of reading in the middle of three books. I'm reading Breath by Tim Winton, Neely Dunn. I did start Obsidio by Christoph and Amy Kaufman, and then I've also started...
How did you not just keep reading that until...
Because I have to. I need to read the Tim Winter one. I want to, but I need to, because we're seeing him soon. Pressure.
I still don't know how... Like, I held a gun to my head to read a million things.
No.
And that book landed on my desk, and everything else got
I know,
dropped.
But I just... It's, I knew I'd be quicker at the Tim Winton one, because it's a lot smaller than Obsidio. And then I'm also reading The Children of Blood and Bone by...
Oh, yeah, I'm reading that too.
Yeah. Well, that's our book club one.
Yeah.
So that I'm also... That as soon as I've done Breath, I'm actually going to read that one next, because our book club's next week. And
yeah.
I'm really, really behind.
I need to get...
I feel like I'm not going to finish.
That's a good, though. I'm enjoying that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of great... Actually, I started Fury Born as well.
Oh, yeah.
Telegram.
I
want to
start that.
I've got a lot of books going right now. And
that's
it makes
so
it really hard to remember...
Well,
reading.
See, the
yeah.
problem reading, like, especially if they're in a similar kind of genre, sometimes you can get a little,
too
like, to either too much in the same genre or you get a little bit confused.
Mm.
And so it's good to, like, listening to The Kiss of Deception and reading The Children of Blood and Bone at the same time was a little bit, like, whoa, fantasy kind of overload.
Luckily,
so,
though, I mean, they are quite different. But that Kiss
are,
of Deception series, I really liked
yeah.
it. I just, the title...
Yeah, I haven't really figured out what the title is yet. Like, reading.
It's just a misleading title. I think if you tell someone that you're reading a book called The Kiss of Deception, they're going to get an idea of what the book is that's very wrong.
I mean, the deception part.
Going to say Kiss of Death.
Kiss of Death. Anyway, I'm going to stop us there because this is a long podcast, everyone. Wow.
I'm sorry.
How dare you, Sarah? How dare you talk passionately about books? Jeez. Well,
I'm a terrible slap.
No, I'm glad. I'm glad. I like having you in the podcast. And thank you for all your very prepared list that you made. I didn't even do my own. Shocking.
Yeah, I did it 10 minutes before we came down.
More preparation than I did. Well, thanks for listening to the podcast, listeners. And we'll catch you next Wednesday at 11 a.m.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks for listening to the Booktopia podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to us on SoundCloud and iTunes. And if your eyeballs need a workout, check us out on YouTube at Booktopia TV. And don't forget, for all books featured on this episode and all episodes of the Booktopia podcast, head to Booktopia, Australia's local bookstore, at www.booktopia.com.au. Thanks for listening.